Tenacious Living Radio.
A Graceful Journey radio program is where you will hear powerful conversations, insights, and knowledge to help you when family caregiving calls. Host Lorna Scott brings a powerful combination of experience as a family caregiver and professional expertise as a coach and counselor. You will be empowered to meet demands, find balance, all while caring for yourself that help you find grace, peace, hope, and joy in your caregiver journey.
Hello, and welcome to a Graceful Journey radio program powered by Tenacious Living Radio. My name is Lorna M. Scott, author of the best-selling book, Walking the Journey Together Alone, Finding Peace, Hope, and Joy in the Middle of the Shit. I'm your host, and I'm so excited to share with you one very important lesson I learned when I was a caregiver for my husband, Callum. It's about asking for and accepting help. This is something I learned, and it made a big difference in how I managed to balance my time and my life just while I was coping with all these changes in our life. So, what is asking for and accepting help? Well, asking for help is really about telling someone, in the form of a question, that you wanted to be given something, or that you want something to happen, to request something. And this is a two-part piece about asking for help, because we can ask, but if we don't be open to receiving it or accepting it, then the help doesn't really help us. So accepting help is really about receiving or taking something that is offered. Now, I like to be really independent, and this was a challenge for me to learn and to be able to do on a regular basis. And Callum was too. He was very independent and had a lot of pride, and he didn't like to ask for help very often. So these two pieces were really key for us. One of the first things that happened that helped us to find the power in asking for and accepting that help was shortly after Callum was diagnosed and had started treatment. And we were living in a city called Red Deer, Alberta, and he was in another city getting treatment. See, he was there Monday to Friday, and very often I was with him. At this time, we were moving into a new home, and he couldn't be there for the move. I was balancing trying to be an hour and a half away where his treatment was, packing to move, getting the move organized, and trying to get some work in at the same time. And what happened was absolutely amazing. The work people who Callum worked with organized a moving bee. And I wasn't sure whether I really wanted to accept this help. I didn't know these people very well yet. We had just moved to the city. But if you can believe this, this is just something that was just really incredible. We had somebody pick up the keys for our apartment and our storage unit at 6:15 p.m. And by 8:30 p.m., they had loaded everything from both places and had everything unpacked, unloaded, not unpacked. We did take a couple of days to do that. But they were unloaded in our home. 2 hours, 15 minutes, and they'd had their pizza and beer and were gone. My mother-in-law and my sister, brother-in-law, and my brother were there with our jaws just dropped to the floor in amazement that something could happen that fast. And if I hadn't received that help, I know I would have been in trouble. I couldn't have managed to get all of that stuff moved, even with the help that I had from my family. I mean, we were tired and exhausted and overwhelmed with the cancer treatment and you know, the excitement of moving into a new home and sadness that that my husband wasn't there to be there. So it really showed us the importance of asking for and accepting help. Now, what I've noticed is that other family caregivers also don't like to ask for help. And they don't often receive it well or accept it hesitate to even be open to the idea that they could get some help. And I hear things like, you know, it's okay, I can manage it, we'll be fine, don't worry about me. Those are common reactions, and sometimes just because we can't think about what help is needed. And maybe you haven't stopped long enough to think about what it is that you could use for help. Now, what's interesting is that there was a Canadian study done that showed that 42% of spouses caring for their husband or wife said they would have liked more help than they received. So some are recognizing they would have liked to get help, but things get in the way. And some of the things that get in the way are pride. And I talked a bit about Callum's pride, you know, wanting to be independent, not wanting to ask for help, wanting to do it all on our own. We would be strong enough. All those things that, you know, we grow up and we just want to know that we're capable. And this isn't about being capable. It is about pride that gets in the way. And there's fear. Fear gets in the way. We're afraid of people saying no, afraid of maybe having to make 3 or 4 phone calls or asking more than one person for help, fear that these people aren't going to do it the way that we want it done, or that they won't understand it, or maybe fear that they'll say yes and then not do it. Sometimes we don't know how to ask, and that's a little bit of a skill, just being able to ask somebody, could you come and help me with this on Tuesday at 1 o'clock? It takes a little bit more planning, and yet it can really be effective in giving specific, what do you need, when do you need it, and giving that information to somebody, and then you know that you've got the right person for the job at the right time. And the other part is, again, not knowing how to accept help. And one of the common questions when people want to help is to say, just let me know what you need. I'm sure you've got a lot to do, and if there's anything I can do, just let me know. And while that's helpful, it leaves us, the family caregivers, the burden of trying to come up with the answers. And when everything's swirling around you, and it's really hard to just pick one or two things and figure out if it's a match. And I'll talk about how we can eliminate that complexity of how to ask and how to accept help, and just a couple of simple things that you can do to get past that and get the help that you need. And of course, connected with the pride is the independence. And sometimes it's independence, and that's a nice word, and sometimes it's just downright stubborn. We're just too stubborn to let people close enough into our lives to give us the help that we need. So what I want to really emphasize with you is that asking for and accepting help isn't about being weak. It's not being about incompetent, and it's not being about it being incapable. It's really one of the most strong and courageous things you can do. Acknowledging to yourself that there is help needed, and for you to cope and be able to get through your day and your week and your month, that other people can do things for you, and it helps them feel better, and it helps you feel better, and it just creates a lot more balance in your life. Being able to acknowledge that is really a big step of courage, and something that many family caregivers have found will really help once they've done that and once they've set in the plan. And we'll talk a little bit more about the planning in the second part of the show. I can't overemphasize how important it is to know that you don't have to do it alone. I've spent 25 years helping people through crisis and different troubling situations in their life, and certainly have personally known how paralyzing it is to hear those feared words about the disease that our loved one was diagnosed with. You know, hearing those words, cancer, dementia, Alzheimer's, you know, stroke, Parkinson's, maybe a brain injury or disability, it's very, very shocking and it can paralyze us. And that's another thing that gets in the way of asking for help. We just can't move forward in sorting out what it is that we need. So it doesn't matter what the disease or the disability or age-related illness is. Those words are shocking and devastating. And, you know, I mentioned in the first radio show more about my story and my time caregiving for my husband, Callum, and that I'm a distant caregiver for my mom. And I know what you're going through. I've been in those shoes. And especially with Callum, we were a really strong we. We walked that journey together quite a bit. And some of the things were, you know, some of the overwhelming day-to-day things that we dealt with were our schedule, our work, family, medical things, balancing what the person we were caring for needed, whether they needed medication or extra food, extra rest. And those are the things that you can certainly get through and be able to get more balance in your life. And we're going to talk more about how to do that after the break. And after the break, I'll share with you a bit about some of the challenges that other family caregivers have very quickly. And then we'll get right into a simple three-step process to start getting the help that you need to get through the day and make your life full of peace, hope, and joy. So please join us after the break.
I didn't order this. Can I send it back? This is one of the powerful Caregiver Mastery signature talks that Lorna M. Scott can bring to your community group, support group, or workplace. She will inspire your audience to change how they think about family caregivers and empower them with key steps for creating a caregiving life by embracing the family caregiver role while putting work, life, family balance back into their lives. Stop the Madness is another popular talk, along with Staying Strong, How to Look After You. Contact Lorna at 403-548-8437 or Lorna at lornamscott.com to book her for your next conference, workshop, seminar, or keynote presentation.
You're listening to Tenacious Living Radio.
Welcome back to A Graceful Journey radio program powered by Tenacious Living Radio. We've been talking about the importance of asking for and accepting help for family caregivers and how to make your journey a little easier and more joyful. And before I jump into the three-step process, I just wanted to just really talk to you about how important this is. And you may have noticed some of these things in your own life, whether you're a family caregiver or you're listening in because you know a family caregiver and you want to share the tips. In the work that I've done with the coaching and some of the group programs, what I've heard from other family caregivers is that when they don't get the help they need and they get into that extra overwhelm and stress, they don't do things to the same standard they're used to. So they start to really feel down on themselves for not having the level of excellence that they like. They start to have memory problems and forget what they've done. They might buy salad dressing and get home to find out there's 3 bottles of salad dressing in the pantry or the cupboard already. And they forget what they've done. So now they've got 4 bottles of salad dressing, but no lettuce or tomatoes because they've forgotten that. They have decreased productivity at work. They get distracted while driving and start to have close calls. And I had one instance where I went to a store that I go to all the time and I made 3 wrong turns in a matter of about 3/4 of a mile. That's what happens when your brain is too full. Start to miss appointments or double book appointments. They ask for more and more time off work. That's a real cue that something's going on and more help is needed. And, you know, you might think, well, yeah, I do that once in a while and I'm really functioning. But I'm here to say, likely you're not doing okay, or at least as okay as you think as you could be. And I'm here to help you with that. So one of the things that can happen is to cut down on your mind clutter. And to-do lists are one of the things that help with that. And what the list can do is help clear the brain so it can be used for really important things. And there's a way to quickly find out what's next to be done by looking at your list or and your calendar of appointments. And asking for help also is a key piece. And how these work together, and I mentioned at the first part of the show that I give you one quick tip here on how to ask for and accept help and be able to answer the question when somebody says, you know, well, let me know if you need help. What I started doing was keeping a list. I have my own to-do list every day, but I just kept a list of things that I wanted help with as they came along. So if I had a couple of burnt out light bulbs, I would put that on the list. If I had needed the lawn mowed, I would put that on the list. If there was a repair that needed to be done or something heavy that I couldn't move on my own that I needed maybe help with, it might have been moving furniture, setting up some electronics, anything like that, I would put that down on the list. And I just kept the list handy. And when people came to my house, I would pull out the list and said, these are the things that I could use some help with. Is there anything that you'd be able to help me with? And that way I had the list ready. They didn't have to really come up with something and worry about offending us. And I got the help. They got the gift of giving help, and we both were better off. One day was having somebody come and clean. She loved to clean the house, and so she came and did the house cleaning for me. So, you know, she had a wonderful visit while she was there, and it was a great experience. So this simple three-step process we're going to move into really piggybacks on having that list available. And I'm going to talk to you about how you can really figure out whether or not you need help. I'm pretty sure that I could guarantee you do. But this will show you exactly where to get that answer. And you'll be able to also figure out how to ask and who to ask for some of these things. And what are the key pieces that you want help with? Now, one of the things is really being honest with your time. So in a week, we have about 168 hours. That's all that we have. That's what we're given. And we need to see how we spend that time. So for example, if you're sleeping, and I like to use the example of 8 hours a day because that is what's recommended, and I know it might be a stretch, but let's just go with that for now. That would be 56 hours. That's how many hours a week that we sleep. So if we deducted that from 168 hours, we'd be left with 112 hours. So if you've got a pen and piece of paper handy, you could write that down. 168 hours in a week minus 56 hours for sleeping leaves you with 112 hours. And this is a bit of a math exercise, this part of it. What I really encourage you to do is to go through the rest of your week to see where else you spend time. And you can write these down as an example, and this document will also be available to you with a link on the radio show website. We'll link you to this whole process with all the instructions. But you can write down your notes right now just to get an idea of what it is to walk through. So you might take a shower or a bath through the week. So that personal grooming, which is your showers, your bath, curling your hair, cutting your toenails, whatever it is, I think an hour a day, that might be a little more or less for some of you, but we're going to go with those averages. So that's another 7 hours a week. That brings us down to 105 hours. For the working caregivers, at a minimum, you're working full-time, it's about 35 hours a week, so that's about 70 hours left. We've got some travel time with another 5 hours and meal prep and cleanup. We've got to make lunches and suppers, so that might take you another 14 hours a week, eating meals. Other things on that list might be things like your laundry, what any medical appointments that on average you have a week, picking up medications, doing grocery shopping, your exercise, even at half an hour a day is, you know, takes 3.5 hours a week, house cleaning, yard work. And when I went through this exercise, it didn't really leave a whole lot of time left in the week. When I added those things in, and that doesn't even include if you've got children that you're taking to school or to some of their events, or you've got birthday parties, you've got other shopping that needs to be done, you want to visit friends. Even without those things, I was left with 21 hours a week, which is only 3 hours a day. And it's really easy to eat up 3 hours a day with spending an extra 15 minutes in traffic and maybe a little bit longer grocery shopping or having a visit with a friend or an unexpected phone call. So your time is precious. So when you look at that list of everything you do every day and up to a week, because some of these things would be only maybe once a week to mow your lawn or shovel a walk if you live in a cold area of the world where we've got snow, where I live. And the next step with that is then look at that list and really choose three activities that you really don't like doing. You might not like them because of the time it takes. Maybe it's inconvenient for you, or you just really just don't like doing it. I don't like housework, and that's why that example I left with you was so important to me, because it not only did it help free up time, it really eased my stress. So when you've got those three activities, then I want you to write them on the left-hand side of your paper. Write down 1, 2, 3, those three activities. And you can finish this up after the call, after the radio show. And I'm kind of talking teleseminars and webinars now when I'm talking calls. So I'm sorry, we are on the radio show. And so write down this, your three things, and then right next to each one, write down a name of someone who you think might be able to do that for you. It could be your brother or your parent or a child, your neighbor, a coworker. It might be a professional if it's somebody that you need to hire. Maybe it's changing the oil in your car, and that might be a professional lube place for you to do that. So write down their name and their phone number next to it. So you've got step one is to make your list of everything you do. Step two is to pick three things that you don't like doing or that you would really be comfortable delegating to somebody. And step three is writing a name and number beside them. And then, of course, step four is making those phone calls to have somebody come in and do those activities for you. And really, the bonus, if you want a bonus activity, I would challenge you to do, and I'll have another show on this topic as well, but you could get a head start on it, is to write down what you're going to do with your extra time. If you could save 5 hours a week, would you go for a massage, for a walk, maybe catch a couple of naps? Those are the things that you can shift into that will help balance your time. So I thank you for listening in today, talking about asking for and accepting help. And really, I have to say, it's such an important thing to really get this sorted out for your time, for your sanity, for your sake. And one thing that I learned, and how I learned this, was when my mother-in-law and father-in-law first came to visit after my husband, Callum, had been diagnosed. And I was so looking forward to being cared for, because I thought that's what parents did, and they really do. But I came home from work and really was looking forward to a meal on the table, and there was nothing. And my mother-in-law said, I was going to cook, but I didn't know what you'd like. And inside my head, I just want food. I just want food. Just get something food. I just don't want to have to think. And I was upset because now I had to think about feeding three people and four people instead of two of us. And what I did learn from that is that, number one, she was also dealing with the shock of the news. But number two is that I had to be clear with her on what it is that I wanted help with. She couldn't read my mind. And that's what I want to leave you with, is that people can't read your mind. The next time my in-laws came to visit, I said, you can help me with the cooking. You can help me with the cleaning. This is what I've got prepared for food. When you need groceries, let me know. We'll make sure you get it. And it was great. She had the meal. She felt very helpful. It made her feel better knowing what to do. And it made my life a lot easier. So again, remember to get an idea of what it is that you want help with. Be willing to ask for it and be willing to receive it. And your life will be a lot, just a lot more joyful, a lot balanced, and you will be able to cope with those challenges that get thrown at you every so often. So you can reach me, Lorna Scott, at 403-548-8437 or email at lorna@lornamscott.com. Or check out my website at walkingthejourneytogetheralone.com. I've been spending some time on a committee called Mobilizing Action Family Caregivers in Canada, and we're starting to focus on some of our federal election issues, and I'm really excited to be sharing some of those in an upcoming episode. So for now, that's a graceful journey, and thank you for joining.
Thank you for joining us on A Graceful Journey. Interested in learning more about caregiver mastery? An empowering way to meet demands, find balance, all while caring for yourself, that help you find grace, peace, hope, and joy in your journey? Then Lorna M. Scott would love to connect with you. Contact her at lorna@lornamscott.com. We will see you next week, same day and time.